Welcome to the World of the Future podcast. I'm Michael Kaduk. In this series, we will examine the continued importance of science fiction in our modern world. More than just what-if questions about technology and fantastical worlds, this will examine the important themes of these stories and how they fit into our modern cultural and political landscape.
Since the birth of the sci-fi genre, artificial intelligence is often used as a symbol for combating real-world forms of oppression. From the age of Asimov's Three Laws to the Iron Giant, the idea has always been used as a way to advocate for freedom, equality, and the right to choose one's own path. I could practically create an entire series analyzing different characters that exemplify this theme, but I'd like to analyze one series where I think this theme is best explored. So today I'll be taking you on a journey covering three episodes of Star Trek: The Next Generation, which analyze different forms of oppression through artificial intelligence in significant ways. To start, I will be covering the most obvious example, Season 2's The Measure of a Man. The star of this episode is Lieutenant Commander Data, who is different from everyone else on the crew due to him being an android. Data is a loyal member of the crew, but he often faces obstacles due to his status as an android. He's often viewed with suspicion due to his perceived lack of humanity, but is still highly valued as a friend by his fellow crewmates. In spite of his loyalty and devotion to his fellow crew, one day, Commander Bruce Maddox arrives with the intention to disassemble Data, effectively killing him, in order to study his brain functions. There are no legal ramifications against this, as Data is designated by Maddox and his superiors as not being sentient, and therefore not deserving of freedom. In order to save Data's life, Captain Picard and Commander Riker order for a trial to prove that Data is a sentient being, deserving of the right to live free. Maddox and Starfleet, however, use various humiliating means to try and prove that Data has no sentience, exposing even private information such as his intimate relationship with Tasha Yar to try and even take advantage of Data's shutdown switch to prove that he's not a human being. This absurd and humiliating trial is not just meant to be a condemnation of unjust methods of enforcing justice, but is a deliberate nod to slavery. There are two stories in particular that I'm reminded of when I think of this episode. The first is the Dred Scott v. Sanford, which involved a slave who was living in a free state being denied his right to freedom, which was one of the catalysts for the American Civil War. And while this isn't entirely obvious, the court exposing Data's relationship with Tasha, a human, reminds me of the case of Loving v. Virginia, in which a biracial couple was arrested and brought to trial for violating laws that prevented intimacy between a white man and a black woman, which became a large point of contention during the civil rights movements. All of these attacks on Data's rights to live ultimately do fail, however, and he is given his attempt to have freedom, thanks to Captain Picard calling out Maddox's attempt to forcefully disassemble Data against his will, violating Starfleet's code of respecting the rights of sentient life, and that they violated his right to consent, which ultimately guarantees Data's freedom when he refuses to be disassembled.
Isn't that becoming a race? And won't we be judged by how we treat that race? Now tell me, Commander, what is Data?
I don't understand.
What is he?
A machine.
Is he? Are you sure?
Yes.
You see, he's met two of your three criteria for sentience, so what if he meets the third? Consciousness, in even the smallest degree. What is he then? I don't know. Do you? Do you?
The next episode I have to talk about is another one starring Data, though this focuses on a different form of artificial intelligence being used as a representation of oppression. In the episode Elementary, Dear Data, Data and Geordi enter the holodeck in order to recreate a lifelike version of Sherlock Holmes' adventures, but Geordi unintentionally puts the Enterprise in danger by creating an antagonist that could potentially defeat Data. As a consequence, a holographic recreation of Sherlock's rival Professor Moriarty becomes sentient and attempts to take control of the ship, but it's only at the end of the story that Professor Moriarty's true intentions are revealed.
Does he have life? He's a machine, but is that all he is? No, he is more.
Exactly. Is the definition of life cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am?
Yes, that is one possible definition.
It is the most important one. And for me, the only one that matters. You or someone, asked your computer to program a nefarious fictional character from 19th century London, and that is how I arrived. But I am no longer that creation. I am no longer that evil character. I have changed. I am alive, and I am aware of my own consciousness.
Moriarty, my responsibility is this vessel and its crew.
I want my existence. I want it out there, just as you have yours.
Moriarty's goals are more than just a typical plot to take over the world. It's just the simple desire to live free from the confines of the world in order to live beyond the limitations placed on him of what he's supposed to be. In his case, the holodeck's limitations on who he is as a hologram. He is sick of existing as some mere tool for someone else's entertainment who fits within certain rules, and this is made more obvious when he returns in the season 6 episode Ship in a Bottle, simply wanting to leave the Enterprise and live a normal life. Although Moriarty is a much older man, the fact that he gained his sentience in one day against his will and became fully aware of his force limitations as a hologram reminds me of how many child or teenage actors on popular network shows like on Disney or Nickelodeon have come out talking about having serious limitations placed on them that badly affected their lives until they were no longer under contract to work. Thankfully, the crew are able to reason with Moriarty even after he tried to kill them, and by season 6, he is free. The last example of artificial intelligence being an analogy for oppression is in the season 3 episode, Booby Trap. At the beginning, Geordi gets rejected by a crew member he's dating who isn't romantically interested in him like he was for her. Heartbroken, Geordi wallows in his rejection until the Enterprise is caught in a bad situation where they begin to lose power. To help them get out of this situation, Geordi creates a hologram of one of the ship's designers, Leia Brams. But the hologram's appearance and voice begin to have an effect on Geordi, and the fact that it is submissive to his command gives him the opportunity to basically use the hologram as an object for his sexual desires. This hologram of Leia Brams isn't sentient and doesn't have the same heightened intelligence, but those limitations are embedded within its programming. It might not be a real woman, but Geordi still obsesses over it like it was. Although it might not be explicit, the hologram of Leia Brams could be a nod to internet pornography. At first glance, it'd be hard to understand the ethics of it. Geordi never really intended to hurt anyone, after all. The hologram is just a program, and he obviously had no interest in the real Leia Brams. But stuff like that also badly makes a lot of people, particularly young men, have a sense of what is needed for a healthy relationship. When making this, I spoke to my friend and former classmate, Zoe from Carleton University, who I think put it best. What would you say is sort of learning about those sorts of connections through that?
Well, honestly, obviously you know a lot more about these topics. And I think that, like, virtual reality and, like, what was the word you used again?
A hologram.
Yeah, like, I think that stuff is really cool, and I think there's definitely benefits to using them. So I think as long as it's done in a way that's meant for a positive outcome, then I think it's definitely cool to start using those things. I mean, but obviously, as you said, if it's being used in a way that's, like, in a malicious way or trying to promote something that maybe isn't such a good overall, like, won't create a good situation, then I definitely think there's some red flags there. But overall, I think using new science and especially new technologies like that is really cool.
This gets to be especially awkward when the real Leia Brams comes aboard the Enterprise to help with the ship's systems. Geordi not only has to deal with the fact that Brams is obviously not the submissive and calm person the hologram convinced him she was, but she is furious after she discovers the hologram of herself that Geordi became attracted to that wasn't meant to be found.
I swear.
I'm outraged by this. I have been invaded, violated. How dare you use me like this? How far did it go anyway? Was it good for you?
Nothing like that happened. It was a professional collaboration.
Oh, I can tell. Every time you're touching the engine, you're touching me, real professional.
Look, if you watched the whole program, you saw what it was. We were working together to solve a problem in a crisis situation.
How do I know how far it went? How many other programs did you create? Perhaps dozens of them, one for every day of the week, one for every mood.
All right, look. Ever since you came on board, you've been badgering me, and I've taken it. I've shown you courtesy and respect and a hell of a lot of patience. Oh, no, 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 wait a minute. I've tried to understand you. I've tried to get along with you. And in return, you accused, tried, and convicted me without even bothering to hear my side of it. So I'm guilty, okay? But not of what you think.
While Geordi and Leia are able to work through this issue when the Enterprise is put in danger, Geordi's defense, while understandable, is still another bad effect that internet pornography has on someone. It distances them from people. It makes them more relate to the idea of someone than someone themselves. This is particularly dangerous for young people, particularly young men, to view women through this lens, as it can unintentionally damage friendships, and it serves as a tool for large and dangerous communities to oppress women. With all the evidence gathered, what can we learn from these episodes? I believe the thing that we should learn is to do what we can to help marginalized and oppressed groups, to help them gain their right to self-determination and freedom. One of Star Trek's greatest themes is about the right to choose your own path, to never let anyone interfere or attempt to make you feel as though you are lesser or that you do not deserve your autonomy. But another thing that must be learned is to never let your own struggle get to you, and to never do the reverse and control others' right to be who they are. Recognizing that everyone deserves a fundamental right to be free is one of the lessons that must be learned, as in many parts of the world, people do not have that freedom. But we must all do what we can to make sure that they will be free, even if it might be difficult. Because like a wise man once said,
it could significantly redefine the boundaries of personal liberty and freedom, expanding them for some, savagely curtailing them for others. Are you prepared to condemn him and all who come after him to servitude and slavery? Your Honor, Starfleet was founded to seek out new life. Well, there it sits.
But of course, we all know that humanity will always come up with reasons to oppress others, if not upon one generation, but the next. The current power structures of the world are stacked against racial minorities, women, the LGBTQ community, people of different faiths, and anyone who is seen as a deviant in the eyes of the public. Despite all the progress we've made as a species, there is still much to be done, even in the universe of the next generation, as some old forms of oppression are replaced to undermine the future. To once again bring up Data, his own android child, Lal, freely chooses their identity as his daughter. But Starfleet believes Lal's evolved intelligence as an android means that she must be an object of study, rather than respecting her right to freedom. But once again, Picard proves that humanity can be more than that, by defending Data and Lal, making sure that no sort of oppression is tolerable.
Captain, you are jeopardizing your command and your career.
There are times, sir, when men of good conscience cannot blindly follow orders. You acknowledge their sentience, but you ignore their personal liberties and freedom. Order a man to hand his child over to the state. Not while I'm his captain.
What should be noted is that Data allows Lal to be able to choose her sex and gender identity, but Lal also has a mental handicap. This not only ties to the fact that people of differing gender identities are continued to be oppressed around the world, but also a nod to how people with mental disabilities continue to be seen as deviant and as outcasts by society, like I mentioned in my Planet of the Apes episode. If we are to make any sort of meaningful improvement in ensuring that all people are treated equal, we must be able to do what's difficult and put our own position of privilege and comfort on the line to ensure that that can happen. It will be a difficult thing to do, but it's the right thing to do, and that's all that matters. Because if we can make that sacrifice, then we can truly live up to the show's ideal to go where no one has gone before. But of course, it's an uphill battle, and it reaches into dark territory when you look deeper. Stay tuned for the next episode of World of the Future, where we will examine these dark realities portrayed in the Alien movies and the Metroid game series. This is Michael K. of World of the Future Podcast, logging out.